This is TWiT.
And one of the things that you're going to want to do, and this is going to be important for the later segment, I want to select my columns. I want to add one, the PID. That's the process identifier. The reason why we're going to want this is because we want to know the PID number of the WannaCry software as it runs. That's the unique identifier that will allow the WannaKiwi to go through the memory allocated to the process and look for the primes.
Ah, that's cool. And the way that's allocated, is that just whatever process starts up
totally
in the background?
Random.
Windows
totally,
just assigns a number?
Pulls out the next process.
Very cool.
All right, so let's go ahead and let's cry.
Let's cry.
Okay, good. So it's running, and the way I know it's running is, first of all these extra files have shown up over here. In just a second, over in the sample folder, we're going to see it start to expand the number of files here. Oh, there we go. So it's added all the encrypted files. And if we look here, if we sort this by CPU, the wcry.exe, it's actually not using that much. So there's something wrong with this installation. It's lagging on everything.
Now it's using 25%.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so now, 25%, that's about right. So when they designed this, they didn't want it to max out the CPU, because if they did that,
it would be really obvious.
Somebody would be like,
something's going on with my computer.
So they wanted it to be able to run in the background just enough so it could do what it needed to do, which is go through all your files and look for the ones that it was going to encrypt, and then delete them. And then when the screen comes up, when the background changes and the little ransom screen comes up, that essentially means the process is done. It's done its thing.
That's pretty clever, though, to set a parameter for not using more CPU so it doesn't get discovered.
I mean, I would have done it differently. Again, what I would have done is I would have waited. I would have let it sit and kind of gather intel and then run this. Yeah. Which, by the way, once again, remember, because people did ask, could the person running this net be able to see into my computer? And some people were saying no, because it's just ransomware. That's not true. Because this also installs Double Pulsar, which is a NSA backdoor. So they technically could get in. They probably wouldn't, because it's not all that interesting. They just want the money. But they could.
Is this like the cyber equivalent of like a snatch and grab, like breaking someone's window and trying to grab some, you can?
Yeah. And again, remember, we talked about this last week. This is not an elegant attack.
No.
It really isn't. I mean, it's just like every other ransomware with the addition of a backdoor and the worm component.
But that's the scary part about this one, is the piggybacking on more sophisticated intrusion software.
Well, there's a new one.
Software.
That this uses two NSA exploits. It uses the Double Pulsar and the blue component, which is what they use.
SMB?
The SMB, the exploit. There's a new one out there that uses seven. So they're just stacking these things on top of each other.
Call it the Hydra.
All right. Now, while that's running, Alex, if you go ahead and go back over to HDMI 1,
he's got it.
I believe it is. There we go. So again, this is what you're seeing on the network. Some of this is legitimate traffic. You've got McAfee, which is a software that's installed in this. It's trying to find the time. You've got the Windows update server that's trying to go on. But you're starting to see, again, those LLMNR packets. And remember, those are multicast. So every time you see one of those packets, it was this computer blasting out to the network who's here. It's talking to everyone at the same time.
So if there's another computer connected, it would be encrypting that, too.
It would be attempting to. Right. So it would have to be another Windows 7 box in this particular case.
Okay.
And an unpatched Windows 7 box.
So if there... All right. So even if there's an unpatched Windows 7 box on your network that has been infected, if you have a Windows 10 machine on that same network, it won't...
Not vulnerable. Okay. Which is weird, because Windows 10 does have... Technically, that's Sambo vulnerability, but it will not be infected.
Okay.
Yeah, you can run WannaCry on a 10 machine if you ignore all of the warnings and basically said, "No, I know what I'm doing."
Right, you're just clicking through.
When Windows is going, hey, man, I'm like 99% sure this is going to mess you up. Do you still want me to run this? And if you say yes, then okay, you deserve what you get.
Okay.
Don't do that. Don't do that, folks.
Because I think that one of the big fears we had here was that somebody would get it on their personal machine, bring it to the network, log in, and then it would spread that way.
Yeah, and that would be, I think we could all agree that's a sad thing.
That'd be bad.
That's a sad face.
Okay.
Sad face. All right, so if we go back to HDMI 2 here, this is still running. Now, typically this takes about 4 minutes, so this is running extraordinarily slow. There's probably something wrong with this particular instance. I wouldn't be surprised if I was actually wearing out my SSDs because I re-imaged these so many times.
Writing back and forth on them, yeah.
Right. But it's already gotten to the point where it's deleted the old files. So these are not, these are all the, gosh. Oh, there we go. Come on.
Oops.
Come on, give me that warning screen. Give me the warning screen. There we go.
And there it is. And everything.
So I've got 2 days, 23 hours, 59 minutes to give them $300 worth of Bitcoins. And this is that Bitcoin address if anyone wants to send them money just to say hello.
Yes, let me send you my Bitcoins. Actually, if they're accepting Dogecoins, I'd be totally down.
Yeah,
I've got Dogecoins.
Doge. Told Doge. Doge, Doge.
Doge, Doge.
All right, okay. So now what we've got is we've got this. So this is our uninfected USB drive. Uh-huh. We showed you that these files are not yet encrypted, right? The question was, if I plug in a USB drive after the process has run, will it be encrypted? And people wanted to know how fast it will be encrypted.
Right.
Okay, so
that's a good question.
Alex, if you go to the overhead, and then you're going to go straight to the screen. So here we go. Maybe you can start counting it down.
And
it gets connected.
Drive is connected.
And let's go ahead and open it up.
And it looks like the removable disk is there.
And there's a sample data. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
Even before I could get to the folder, it's attacking the files.
That's quick.
That's super, super quick. So, again, anything, and it's not just USB.
Yeah.
Anything that this can attach to after it's been infected, it will try to encrypt.
Now, see, this is where you had mentioned earlier if you had designed the software and it would be much more destructive.
Subtle. Yeah.
Or subtle if you waited, because if you sat on it and waited for somebody to plug more stuff in or waited for more computers to come online to the network, it could be like twice or, you know, how many ever times
and
more devastating.
That's more of a targeted attack. You were right. This is more of a smash and grab. They really don't care about what files they encrypt. They just want you to pay them.
Right.
If I was looking to mess somebody up,
right,
I would wait for maximum damage. They're not trying to do maximum damage. They just want you to be inconvenience enough that you'll give them $300 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah, because I guess you could set the parameter of, like, wait 2 weeks, see how many devices have connected. If you reach this many devices, unleash payload.
Now, Alex, if you go back to that HDMI 2, you will notice it's taking a while to delete the old files. You know what I'm actually going to do? I'm going to yank this, and we're gonna run it on a new installation and see if maybe we can get it back. What do you think?
Yeah, let's try it. I'm excited to find out.
Ba-ba! So technically, it hasn't had time to delete the old files yet. You still saw them there. Let's see what happens when we try to bring it up. Now, I'm going to abandon this installation because we don't need it. So I'm just going to go ahead and shut it down.
Shut it down.
Shut her down. And then we're going to install a brand new SSD, which I've got right over here.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Look at that.
Looks very similar.
Yeah. And actually, I don't even need to wait for the graceful shutdown. I just yank power.
Oh, you've got your little jumper?
Yeah.
Nice.
Super high tech, man. This is a switch.
That button looks really familiar.
That's what happens when you disassemble cases and you just have a bunch of components lying around.
Well, you don't throw anything away, so.
I don't. There we go. So turn this back on. Now, while this is rebooting, I'm going to have to change a couple of things because we want the resolution to be right for the TriCaster.
Right, et cetera, and the folder options. Probably.
And the folder options, again, we're going to have to change. So this is going to be a clean installation. It has not yet been exposed to WannaCry, but it does have a very popular undelete program already installed on it.
Okay.
So we're going to use that program to basically, well, see what's up.
See if we can get anything back, yeah.
Okay, so the new installation is up, and let's go ahead and see if we can undelete our files. So remember, the questions that were asked of us is, will this infect a device that you attach after infection?
Yes.
Answer is yes. We know that already. We've got two other questions. Can I undelete the files that WannaCry has deleted?
Right.
And two, can I protect my data files by changing the names to like .dll and .exe?
Mm-hmm. So let's find out.
Let's answer those in reverse order. Alex, if you go back over, this is the USB drive that I had plugged into the other installation.
That got encrypted,
but remember, we pulled it before it was able to delete the old file. So let's test this really quickly. This is the whole, if you noticed that WannaCry was encrypting your files, could you shut off your computer really quickly before it had a chance to delete?
Right.
Well, if that's true, then I should be able, it looks okay. It's a .jpg file. I should be able to click this and...
Oh, no. So, Yeah. As it encrypts, does it write over the old file?
It's overwriting the old files so that you can't. Even if the file's still there, it's not actually there. In fact,
so undeleting won't work either.
It will not. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Now, let's test the other thing. The other thing is, remember, we changed two of the files to .dll and .exe, right?
Right.
So the question is, did it still affect them?
Those are supposed to be the files that were hiding.
Uh-huh. So integration.exe, we're going to change this back to integration.docx. And what did WannaCry do to it? If
anything. It probably should have passed over it because it's not a file it was
looking
for.
Hey, how about that?
Okay, so that makes sense because if it was looking for .exes or anything like that,
it would screw
up
the Windows installation.
Which would then negate the whole process.
Precisely. Yeah. So it can't encrypt DLLs and EXEs because then the operating system would stop working, and that defeats the purpose of holding your system at ransom because it just borked your whole system, not just ransomed it.
But the practicality of hiding your files as different extensions is kind of silly. But.
Of course, we got to check the DLL as well. So did it do it for the DLL? If we change this back to JPEG.
I'm guessing
Do we
not.
Get the puppy? Oh, the sad puppy is back.
He survived.
Oh, he's so cute. Okay, so that's confirmed. So if you asked if there was a way to preserve your files, yes. If
that's
you wanted to go through your entire document folder and change everything to DLL or EXE.
Or just make a copy of all your files and then change the extension so you have, I don't know.
I mean, personally, it would be a lot easier to like save it in the cloud where you could reverse revisions or onto a NAS that's then disconnected. But
it's good to know.
That's me.
It's good to know.
That's me. All right. But the other question we had was, would undelete work?
Right.
So let's take a look. So if we open up undelete 360 here, we're just going to let it run on this this drive to see if there's anything that couldn't be recovered. And, you know, you already can kind of see where we're going here because it actually encrypts these files before it overwrites them, it's probably not going to work. But let's see. Okay, so we need to search. We're going to search for files in the removable drive.
Okay.
And it thinks it's found a couple. So
status overwritten.
Overwritten.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense.
It did its job. I mean, that's what WannaCry wants to do. It wants to make sure that you can't just use one of these tools to get it back. So, unfortunately, the answer to that is no.
Well, and then just the fundamental idea of even if you're using encryption for your own files, you wouldn't want to encrypt your files and then also have a copy of those files that could be recovered. So it's like the whole idea of encryption that like it would overwrite the old file.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that, folks. But on the good side, we do know that if you want to hide all your files as executables, you can do that.
Or just give them a different executable, like .nsa, I think someone suggested in the chat room.
I don't know. We should have tested that. I don't know if that... I wonder if it just looks for known data types. Because if it looks for known data types, you can make up your own extension.
Exactly.
But a year down the road, you're going to like, is this a JPEG or a doc or a movie file?
No, I named all my movie files .awesome, and I named all my pictures .crazy, so I think I'll remember.
But this is interesting because it shows you that WannaCry is not going through the process because it could examine every file and just look at the header so that even disguised files it would know.
Yeah.
It's not doing that. It's just looking at extensions.
Right. Because if it compromises the system working, then they can't get money.
That's bad.
Yeah. They just want to hold your files ransom.
Yeah.